Praise the Lord. How you doing?
Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand if you will. Amen. Dear precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, we're just appreciative, Lord, for another opportunity together. Lord, we're so appreciative for another day you've given us. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to have your way in preeminence in this service and everything that's said and done. Be for your glory, your honor. In your precious name we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 27 in our little capstone books. Keep on the firing line. Amen. Oh, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service will not find a place. So keep on the firing line. Amen. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown and bear the cross you must, keep on the firing line. Oh, life is but labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great you'll be rewarded for your service. Amen.
So keep on the firing line.
Hallelujah. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Amen.
Never run
nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Oh, when we get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. I will praise the Savior for the call he has. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome we will all march in. Amen. Yes. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. I will praise the Savior for the call we had, that little call. Amen. Page 9 in the same book. God has delivered so many times. Amen. In my life. Amen. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still. Again, pulls us out of the muck and the mire. Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord. Amen. Page 1, same book. Amen. Walking in the land of story, holding to a Savior's hand, living. Promised land, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Can you imagine that day?
Amen.
Imagine the joy that's going to be bubbling in your heart.
Amen.
Thinking of all the things He's done for you. Amen. Where He's brought you from. I'm sure we'll have no problem singing. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Brother Amos, could I ask you to come up and take the offering? Amen. It's bubbling, bubbling. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly what a day that's going to be, Lord.
Yes.
We thank You for the reality we see it in, Lord. We thank You so
Amen.
Much for all You've done for us,
Amen.
Lord. We thank You for
thank
Your grace
you,
and Your mercy in our lives, Lord. Lord, once more we want to thank You for this opportunity You've given us, Lord, to gather with our brothers and sisters
yes.
around Thy
yes.
precious word, Lord. Truly it's a grand opportunity.
Praise God.
Lord, we ask that as Your word comes forth this night, Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive what You have for us, Lord. May we sit intently waiting upon Thee. Lord, we ask that You'll bless this offering once more. Lord, we ask that it'll be used for the upbuilding of Thy kingdom.
Amen.
We ask these things in Your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Can we hold the fort?
Yes.
Amen. Hold the fort, saints. Amen. Hold the fort, for I am coming.
Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, I count this such a true privilege to be here this evening and to, Lord, just know You're here with us, that You've said and You've promised that where two or three are gathered in Your name, in our midst You would be. And Father, we believe that with all our heart. And we know You've never left us down. And we appreciate it so very much. Now we know, Lord, that each one that has raised their hand, Lord, or done something to signify they had a need in their heart and their life, we know that, Lord Jesus, You already know all about it. And Father, You know about any of us that maybe stand here and may not think we have a need, and we may think everything's okay. And Father, we may be gathered here and not even know for sure why we're here and what You're doing and what this is all about. But Lord, we don't want to leave anybody out. We ask, Lord, that You would touch every heart here tonight. And knowing that You know every need and what the desire is, and Father, know the hearts of every man, woman, and young person. Lord, we ask that You would bless and, Lord, strengthen and help each one of us, oh God. Knowing we're nearing the end time and everything is wrapping up and finishing up. And Lord, there's so much yet to do. To give over to You and surrender to You, Lord. And oh, we're such a needy people.
Amen.
We ask, Lord, for Your help and Your blessings upon us now. We ask that You touch the sick and afflicted and give them strength. And we continue to, Lord, remember Sister Irma in prayer. And
Amen.
Trusting, oh God, that Your will be done there. And And whatever it is, Lord, you know that all things you said work to the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to your purpose. And Father, we just turn it over in your hands and know that thy will be done. Pray now that you'll bless us with the word also and open our hearts to receive and bless our brother, make it easy for him now. And Lord, just help us to have our hearts open and be hungry for whatever it is, and keep us in thy precious word above everything. We ask it now in your glorious, most precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise.
Well, of course, just any day now, our Lord is coming. He will be returning. Amen. Just any day now, the Lord is coming. He'll be returning. Hallelujah. For you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day. Sing out, Lord Chorus. We ask our brother to come. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Desire. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we have come once more, Lord, into your little place you've provided for us together. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, to feel the precious presence of your Holy Spirit here, Lord, and to know that you're with us. And Lord, we've just come humbly tonight, Lord, asking you to speak to our hearts, Lord, through these precious few words you've laid upon my heart, Lord, as an exhortation. Lord, only you know, but Lord, may it help us in some way, somewhere. Lord, strengthen someone. Lord, cause us to dig in a little deeper, whatever would be necessary, Lord. You know all things. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, and just ask you to have the preeminence in the remainder of this service, and we commit it all into your hands. In the lovely, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask all things. Amen. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Amen. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Amen. It's kind of a little strange subject maybe for this evening. It may not seem like much, but you know, I was just waiting and praying and just seemed like this kept coming back. So it's what we're going to bring, and amen. Just ask God to somehow strengthen our hearts with it. Amen. I believe we sang that little song, just any day now, our Lord is coming. And amen, I want to be ready. Just amen, waiting. Glory to his name. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and let's read the 7th verse, and you can be seated. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Amen. Amen. Just a quick reference of these men of old and how God spoke to them. And the results that it brought in their life by the word being revealed to them. And you know, that's what we're looking for today, is that revealed word. And as we can read this, we're going to read a few examples in this chapter, how that when the word was revealed to them, and it was revealed to them what God wanted for them and their life, it was evident, it was seen, there was a pulsation, there was something taking place, shining out forth from them. But each one of them moved at their own time with their own thing. But just think about Noah being the only one that God truly revealed to him that it was going to rain and he was going to destroy this earth. One man out of all the many people that was on the earth at that time. But you didn't think about it. Put yourself in his shoes. God spoke to him, and he couldn't run over and ask his brother, what do you think about it? And he couldn't run over and say, so-and-so, what do you think about it? God had revealed it to him to prepare this boat. Amen. You know, and I'm sure he was sharing it with everyone. He's seen God said it's going to rain. He's going to destroy this earth. And he was pouring his heart out to him with what God had revealed to him. And, you know, just going everywhere. Listen, I'm trying to tell you. But it didn't mean nothing to him. And I want you to think about that. And 120 years he hammered on that old boat. 120 years he kept telling them. And every day, those that it wasn't revealed to, they just, oh, he's been saying that for so long. Look at that thing he's built. Look what he's done with his life. All because that's what he believes, that it's going to rain. He's crazy. Well, we stand here today knowing that God said he was going to come again. And that he sent a prophet forth through the land today. And there's got to be a people with a revelation that's burning so greatly in their heart. That it's not brother so-and-so said the Lord's coming again. It's got to be you know. And you've got to have that determination in your heart. And if it's not revealed to you, there won't be no response showing that you really think he's coming again. And that's how we, in the age we're living, that's what's happening. It's many people claim to know he's coming again. But it hasn't been revealed to them that he's truly coming again. And as we look here, let's read on down. It talks about Abraham for a minute. It was revealed to him. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Just think of that. Abraham was set up. He had everything he needed. He didn't need to go nowhere else. He was content. His flocks were growing, his children, his whole thing there where he was set up, his neighbors and his kinsmen all around him. Things looked so good and so nice. But God spoke to his heart and said, come out from among them and walk with me. And he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which after he should receive an inheritance, he obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. But by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God had spoke to his heart. And it didn't matter who tried to tell him. God had told him, come out and walk with me to a place that I will show you. And oh my, how he moved. He didn't care how many people tried to drag him down and say, that's not the way. That's not how you get there. But he moved because it was revealed to him. Amen. And he moved out and he followed it. Amen. We drop on down here to the 24th verse. And it says, by faith Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And our pastor mentioned Moses here not long ago. But just think of that. Living in a kingdom. Everything he needed at his fingertips. didn't need his world changed. He thought he was fine. He didn't need nothing. But God's seen him before the foundation of the world, placed a little seed down in him and said, that man's mine. And when the time was right, God came to him and, no, that's not for you. By faith, God revealed to him. And oh my, he left all that he knew. He left everything that he thought was proper. Maybe the way he'd been raised. How hard it is today as human beings we're raised in this world. It's so hard to go against what we've been taught. So hard to go against the human nature. Flesh thinks this is okay. It wants this. It likes that. This is the way it should be. But we're not of this world. We've been called out. We are a chosen people, a chosen generation. God has spoken to each one. And we sit here as individuals tonight under the sound of my mouth. Only you know if God has spoke to your heart. Amen. Only you can truly know that he's revealed himself to you in a way that there is something inside of you driving you, pulsating, pushing you to every word that Jesus Christ has spoke and left for us. Only you know. But if you feel that, then there's something inside of you. You can't let it rest. You can't put it down. When the word comes, there's something in there. It's just boiling, and it's bubbling, and it's pushing you. And oh my, and how sometimes we may hit a dry spell where maybe I need a revelation of something, and I just can't seem to get a hold of it. And maybe I'm praying and I'm wrestling, but you wait and watch. If you're truly hungry, and God likes to see a desperate heart. He likes to see somebody that's, oh, Lord, I want to know. And you watch in the right time, he'll come, and when he reveals it to you, whatever that situation is, you watch it change your life. You know, it might be such a thing as a woman wearing pants or you know, and raised up that way. And, oh, this is the way we are. But let her one time let God in that precious word show her, thou shalt not wear anything that pertains to a man's garment, and it must be modest. You watch God reveal that to her heart. You don't have to have the deacons pecking on her shoulder. You need to get the dress down. You need to dress a little better. You don't see that take place. As Brother Branham in his meeting had to go down and wrap his coat around a sister sitting, a lady sitting on the bench. The Holy Ghost, oh, is so great. You watch that little person get up and go make sure everything is just so right. The revealed word of God in a person's life brings forth a vindication that it's there. Every word of God will be vindicated back forth to prove. God proves all of his word. And amen, as he proved it through these men of old and showing that what revelation would do when God had spoke to their heart and they knew it was God. They moved. There was nothing holding them back. And they moved out for it. And you know, I want to read here about Joseph, a little thing. It's kind of lengthy, but this is in, we have seen his star and come to worship him. As Brother Branham typed it here with him, this was preached December 16, 63, paragraph 90. And you know, Joseph was betrothed to Mary, and then she told him she was a child, and it was of the Holy Ghost, and he was so tore up. It was against everything he knew. It was against all the, you know, they knew the scripture said a virgin shall conceive, but oh my, here's this little lady, and she's telling me she's pregnant, she ain't don't know a man. What's the people going to say? What's the human mind looking at the situation? All and judgments had already been passed. And you can think of the turmoil that must have been in Joseph's life. And listen, as Brother Branham dramatized just a little bit here. He says, no doubt he said, oh, great Jehovah. God, I come through the lineage of David, and I'm a righteous man. I hope I am. I am trusting in what you said to be the truth. And my beloved little sweetheart here that I have, I'm espoused to, I put her away. Otherwise, I'm guilty of committing adultery. She's to be a mother, and I don't know her as a wife. What is these things, Lord? See, he was not a prophet, so he couldn't speak to him that way. But he let him get to sleep, and he sent the angel of the Lord to him in a dream. And the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and touched him and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There you are, that which is in her is not some man. The Holy Ghost has done this. The woman has told the truth. The unusual story, this unusual thing that's happened, Joseph, that's got you all tore up, it's of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to think of that. God's not dead and he hasn't changed. You remember when the prophet was here and that little lady had the son that was sick. And she went to praying and crying and trying to reach out to God. And who come walking down through there whistling, carrying his hat? God moves on the scene when we show him we are sincere. when he knows that you're truly turning to him and your heart's cry, if for whatever it is, whatever it may be, whether it be a healing, whether it be for a genuine revelation of something that just really got you tore to pieces, that you can't seem to get a grip on, God is aware of that. And if you're praying and seeking God, he will move in some way to get that to you. In Joseph's case, he used a dream. In our case, it might be coming to church one service and the pastor bringing a message that's totally offline what he's been preaching on, to bring something that God may have known I needed to reveal it to me. Amen. But God is still God. He is alive.
Yes, he is.
But he says here, he says, oh, that same God still lives tonight. You still have a subconscious, you Christians, of things. Let me drop on down here. He says, now a prophet... He goes on. He says, then Joseph rose from his sleep, and his heart must have been full of a newborn faith. That mystery that had bothered him, that something that he had wanted to believe, but something he had dared to believe. It was so unusual, yet it was made known to him by a dream. New faith sprung into his life. Oh, my. He had faith in God. He had faith in his wife then, both faith in God and love for his wife, love in the one that he loved. There was no more question. No more question about it. He knew that was the angel of the Lord. He knew that God had revealed to him just exactly the question that was in his mind. So all questions was gone. And when God in any way that he desires to do it reveals to you the question that's in your mind, there's no more doubt. There's no more question about it. It's a revelation. And how many of you can truly say you've experienced that? There was something in your life somewhere you were battling, you were struggling, trying, Lord, what is this? And God come along and dipped it into your heart, and nobody can take it from you. Nobody can move you from what he's revealed to you. Well, we're living in a time where we need more faith than any other age. We're coming into a time when God is fixing to return and catch away a little waiting bride. And he said she would be in his image, perfect, spotless, without spot or wrinkle. And he wants her to be exactly a reflection of him. And oh my, as we see the age that we're living in, we see the time and what God is requiring, how it ought to be in our heart. Lord, show me every word, Lord. Maybe I'm a little lady and I just can't seem to come under subjection to my husband. Cry out to God that he will dip it in your heart. Then you don't have to try to come under subjection. God will reveal it to you exactly through his word. Yes, you may have heard it. You may have known it. But ask God for a revelation of it and watch it bring your body under subjection to that precious word. And that goes with everything. And every word of God you can apply to every situation. Not just that one, but every situation. If there's something lacking in my life as the word is coming and I see it, oh, how I should be crying out, Lord, make it real to me. We're living in a time where we've been taught, well, this is okay, and that's okay. I think this is okay. We may be reasoning in our mind that I think I can do this thing. But what if God's word would come and show me something else? Am I going to be willing to buckle down and say, Lord, reveal it to me that it'll take place in my life? You know, Noah, standing there, God told him it was going to rain. He needed to build a boat, and God revealed it to him. What if he did? Lord, I ain't building no boat. I don't think that's for me. But no, God predestinated him for that. He placed that gene there, and when that word come, there was something in there that said amen to it. Amen. And it happens, just like it, and it will. Amen. Yes. In your mind, no more doubt, there's no more question about it, it's a revelation. When you see something here in the scripture and you say, well, no, I believe that was just for the apostles. I believe Jesus did that in days gone by, but the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, just the same. Then if it seems to be a question to you and you ponder over it and you can't make it out and you see the thing happen and you wonder about it, and then the angel of the Lord in some way, if you'll be sincere, will reveal it to you, there's no more question, it's truth then. And then you can scream and shout, oh, I'm so thankful. I can imagine how Joseph felt when that had taken place. The mystery was all over then. Oh my, how many things has God revealed to us that we can truly say, thank God, the mysteries. There's no more question. Now I know I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I was received the baptism of the Holy Ghost according to the scriptures, the way God laid it down. There's no more doubt. It's been revealed that I know I was in the truth. All these things God has revealed. What a shout that ought to place in our heart when I can see that I'm lining up into that precious word. And see it made real. He says, I can imagine how Joseph felt. The mystery was all over then. He was found rejoicing. He was happy. And we find out right away he married her. Oh, he was no more questioned then. He took to him Mary the wife. Knew her not as a wife until the child was born. Happy about it. He was glad to be Mary's shield. He was glad to bear her reproach. And when a man can be revealed that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how many creeds try to turn it back, you're glad to be a shield. You're happy to be a shield. Let them say whatever. You've got a big shield up there to knock the fiery darts off. I hope I don't get too loud for them out there, he says, but let them hear it too. They ought to know, he says. Hey, man, you'd be happy to be a shield. You're a doormat. Whatever it wants to be, it doesn't matter. It's been revealed to you by the Lord. The Lord has showed it to you by his word. It's the truth. And then confirmed it to you to make it live again. You say, there it is. My, nothing is going to. No man, even if he has the right to preach until he comes face to face with the gospel of God. That's right. No man should be in the pulpit. I don't need to read that. He said, but if it's been revealed to you by the Lord has showed it to you by his word. It's the truth. And then it's confirmed to you to make it live again. And how that's what's lacking today is the revelation of the precious word that we have. They heard it. People have heard it, and they've heard it. We've sat in churches from the time we were this big till the time we're here now. We've heard the word. We've heard the word. We know what the prophet said, but have we got a revelation of what God delivered unto us that will truly make the life live back through these bodies exactly the way God said it should? That's what we're looking for, saints. And if my body won't come subject to that precious word, then I'm lacking something. There's something I need from God, a revelation of whatever word it may be. And I need to cry out that God would reveal it to me. Amen. Amen. And without the new birth, we know we can never get the revelation. It's got to be revealed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see here. Amen. This is in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, something that we've all read many, many times. But Brother Branham was speaking of Peter. He said, but God alone holds the key, page to paragraph 293. He said, God alone holds the key. He expressed the same thing in the previous scripture a while ago when I read it. He said, who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this revelation here alone, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it, you see. So therefore, there is no school, no theologians, no teaching of the Bible among any school that knows anything about it. They cannot know nothing about it. It's impossible for them to know anything about it. God has hid the senses of knowing it from the very elected teachers and everything else. It's a personal, individual affair with the person that Christ has revealed to them. And if you say he's been revealed to me, and the life that Christ produced here in the Bible, that same life is in him, does not produce itself in you, then you've got the wrong revelation. And how that scripture ought to be burning in our hearts. If I'm saying he's been revealed to me, and I'm saying he's living in me, but there's something about my life that's not lining up, then I've got a wrong revelation. And I need God to change my and reveal to me the truth of whatever it may be. And how that goes to prove as we become fruit inspectors and we see people say, oh, I've got all truth. I got all the mysteries. I got all knowledge. I've got all understanding. But their life that they're living is not bearing forth the fruit that was supposed to be brought forth. We have a right to doubt their testimony. They have a right to doubt our testimony if we don't have it living out through us. And how that should be the desire of our heart in this late hour as we see where we're living and where we're standing. All of these witnesses that's laying in this precious Bible before us, and the prophet as he came and God revealed the word to him and he lived his life. How much of our life is a reflection of Jesus Christ? Every day, every place I go, the places I go, the things I do, is it a reflection of Jesus Christ? Or is it a reflection of just an old human being? Or are we searching our life daily? Are we looking for those higher heights? Are we looking for those higher rungs? But Lord, I know you're coming again. And Lord, I'm one to make sure that everything about me matches exactly what you've said. That should be the desire of our hearts, the pulsation that's burning in us. But do we just never think about it? We go through life, no one ever forgot about that boat needing to be built. He kept on every day. He was right there with that old hammer and nails. And you know, that's the way our lives should be. We know he's coming again. The Bible says we should be looking and longing, loving his appearing. Amen. Are we looking for him to come again? Are we still looking, oh, down the road, I got 30 years, I got all my life planned out, how I'm going to have this bank account when I retire, and I'm going to have this nice house. I'll have it paid off at this point, and I'm going to have this. Oh, my saints, the things people plan for. But by God's grace, we've been selected and chosen by God, and it's been revealed to us that he is coming again. This world can't stand much longer. It's not going to continue to go on. As our brother has been looking for a house and knowing that in his heart he knows that he wants to be close to the Word, and we see that that's burning in his heart. That's revealed to him to be close to where the Word's at. He's not looking to be living here for another 20 years, but he's what his goal is set, his heart is set on those things above, as our brother was bringing Sunday. Set your affections on things above, and our attitude will show forth where our affections are. You know, we go through life, and the human race is so messed up as we see them. Everything, somebody gets a house, somebody else has got to have a bigger house. It's got to be better. They get a new car, somebody else has got to have a better car. They get a new this, they got to have a better that. It never ends. Just look at the industry, how every year they got to make a bigger and better car. They got to make a bigger and better RV. They got to make a bigger and better boat. And over and over and over, this boat that people had was doing the job they needed, but they had to have a bigger and a better one. And it just continues to go and go and go. It's the drive. It's the human drive to be like that. But I want a drive burning inside of me that's driving me the other way. I want more and more of Christ and less of this world. But I want my life to be a reflection of Him. Yes, it makes us look odd. You don't want all these fineries, yet we use what God has given us, and it gets by. It shows where, but if our love is truly to be able to show off what we have to someone else. I want you to see what I got. I want you to see what I've achieved. Look where I've been, and look how far I've climbed up the ladder of success. That ain't got nothing to do for it. You know, they show the little illustration sometimes of the skeletons. And they say, this man had $1 million, and this man had $5. And when it's all over and they're laying in a casket, they all look exactly the same. They just got a skeleton of bones laying there. But oh my, how we ought to be more concerned about what God is seeing in my life right now. Yes, we may be young. We might still have a lot of living so to do, so we think, but God might come tomorrow. Tomorrow might be our last day. Does He see a reflection in me that He can show me off as He did Job? Look up, have you considered my servant Job? Enoch had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God. It was revealed to him. He knew. What a testimony. Do we have that testimony tonight that I know that everything I'm doing pleases my Lord Jesus Christ? Is that really burning in my heart, or do I not even really think about it? Everything I do, I just do because it's the human thing to do, and I can just go to church when it's church time. But where's our desires burning at? Where's what's been revealed to me? What's really, because it shows, what's been revealed will show forth on the outside and the reactions and the life that's lived forth. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Amen. I hope it's not too boring. Amen. Pray God will just, like I said, amen. Let's see here. Page 52. I got my book messed up here. Amen. Paragraph 52. And then this is in the message, does God ever change His mind about His word? Paragraph 102. And he was speaking about Israel here for just a moment. Does God ever change His mind about His word? This was preached in April the 4th, 1965. Paragraph 102. Now Lot's group here, or Moab, was Lot's daughter's child. To start with, you know, notice as a natural church, Moab represents the natural denomination. Israel represents the spiritual church. Israel, there was a church true, was the bride of that day, called out of Egypt, vindicated to be the truth. And notice when they came together, both of them offered the same sacrifice. Both built, saw seven altars, both offered up clean sacrifice of ox. They even offered up rams, testifying that they was a coming Messiah. Fundamentally, they were both exactly the same. Israel down there in the valley, Moab up on the hill. Moab was seven altars. Israel was seven altars. Moab was seven ox, and Israel was seven ox. Moab was seven rams, speaking Israel was seven rams. What was the difference in them? Fundamentally, both were right. But you see, Moab did not have the vindication of God with them. They were only a nation, a group of celebrities. But Israel had a prophet with them. They had a smitten rock with them. They had a pillar of fire. They had a brass serpent for healing. They had the blessings of God moving right along with them. And they was the called out children of God. And we find out that that's so perfectly typed here in them churches of today. As Moab was not, so Israel was a sojourner from place to place. Wherever that pillar of fire moved, they moved with it. And Moab not so. And how that is today, you watch when the word's been revealed and the word comes, it might mean shaving this off. Shaving that off, you watch a person that's got bits been revealed to and that Holy Ghost fire is burning on the inside, you watch them move right with it. But you watch somebody that it ain't been revealed to, somebody that don't really have it burning in their heart, they never change. They don't know when to move. But by God's grace, he's chosen a people, predestinated them, and they've placed them here, that when that word comes, there's something that takes place in their heart, and they move in tune with God's word. And oh, how that ought to be driving in our hearts. Lord, am I moving in tune? I don't want to just be a churchgoer. Lord, I don't want to be somebody that just claims to believe a message and I'm following it and I'm at service all the time. No, but I want to see results in my life, Lord. Make it a reality, Lord, that the testimony of my life would be one day, if the Lord should tarry, could be written down as a testimony to him. Oh my, may it just pulsate in our hearts, saints. We're not here to live after this world. We're not here to fashion after this world. But we've been called for a higher place. Oh my, may we each one surrender greater to him, that he can have that in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Every time we come in here, God's calling us to a higher place. Every time you come in, we might hear the same word. And then God speaking to my heart may show me the place that I need to climb higher here. And you may take it and apply it to your life, and you need to go higher here. God is watching over each and every one of us. He knows exactly what we need. And he makes sure we get our dose of whatever it takes to keep us growing in his admonition. Amen. Let's see here. We've read this many times. This is in the presence of God, unrecognized. Page 9, paragraph 52. Look at the day we're living in. What's promised for this day? Where are we? We've moved on up. The pillar of fire moves, and the children of Israel moved with that pillar of fire, or they went back to Egypt. We have got to move with the word. And today we're getting so slothful, the church is getting so worldly and so indifferent. So their minds are so muddled with television, we love Susie and some of the old things, staying home. That shows where people's hearts are. And you can tell them these things are wrong, and they think you're crazy. There was a time you would have never heard anybody in this message going to ball games. There was a time in this message a lot of things that's going on today would have never been done. But over time, people began to lose sight of their vision, so to speak. It wasn't really anchored in their heart, the things that God had revealed and brought. And so they begin to look back to Egypt, where life looked a whole lot more easy and a whole lot more enjoyable and a whole lot more fun. But oh my. But he says, and you can't tell them these things are wrong. They think you're crazy. What is it? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. See? We see we're living at the last days. It was 2 Timothy, I believe it was, is where he said that. Perilous times will come. We see we're in these times. We see all this scripture being fulfilled around us. We see what God's doing, moving up. He says, but oh, the greatest pleasure I know of is to pray until I can realize that I'm in the presence of God and recognize it. I think that ought to be the thrill of the church, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Seeing the God that made the promise standing among us, feel his presence, seeing his word and see it vindicated. It ought to give faith to make cripples walk, blind to see, deaf to hear, and dumb to speak. And how that ought to put a spark in our hearts. It ought to put a rejoicing in my heart. It should give me an eagerness every time that I can be here, to be where the word's at, whether it be here or wherever I gather. But to be where the God can speak to my heart, there's a pulsating, a driving. He's been revealed to me to know that I've got to be ready. I've got to prepare. Now is the time he's giving me to make sure I'm making sure my calling and election. Each one of us, that's what God's given us this time for. We're just not churchgoers. We're just not filling time and space. Santa makes me a Christian to go to church. But we're filling our time up. Why, God, by the renewing of your mind, be ye transformed that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Molding, coming into that house and being molded, beaten so that as they used to beat the gold till they could see the reflection, he's hammering on us till we can see that perfect reflection of what he wants to see in our lives. Amen, a true reality living forth from him, for him. Amen, you sisters can come to the instruments. I won't hold you much longer. Amen. Here and back in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I'm going to start there again at the 30th verse. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Amen. Think about the circumstances. Think about the circumstances Joshua faced. Look how big the obstacle looked. At that time, it was a walled city. But God told him how to take that city. All he had to do was follow the instructions God gave him and obey him to the fullness. And them walls came down. God proved that what he said he would stand behind. And I want you to think about that. Any circumstance in your life that is maybe hindering you from serving the Lord, anything that's standing in your way, if you'll take God's word and apply it in faith to that situation, you watch God move on the scene on your behalf and bring it about for his glory. Not for your glory, but for his glory. Amen. And what shall more shall I say of the time would fail to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire and escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight and turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, and were tempted, and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided something better thing for us, that they without us should not be perfect, made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Think of it. All he's endured. All they endured. Oh my, how much sometimes our trials look so puny. But oh my, God is the great conqueror. He's put in each one of us what we need for this day that we live. For the word that was left for our day. And oh my, may we truly yield ourselves over to him that he could have that full preeminence. And you know, the word may come and show me where I need to trim this or trim that. May God, may our prayer be, Lord, whatever portion is shown me, don't let me shut you off, Lord. Don't let me turn a hard nose to you and say, that's not for me. But Lord, let me be open like a little flower that's drinking in the rain and say, Lord, just fill me. Take me over, Lord. Reveal to me your precious word that it will do the work in my life. That will bear forth. I don't have to try to work myself to that. You can't even do that. But through Christ, it's us no longer living. But when it's been revealed, it lives automatically out through us. And oh my, how that ought to be the prayer of our hearts is, Lord, reveal to me every word. Don't let me just think because I've been around this message for so long or I know so much of it that, Lord, it's all been revealed. But Lord, continue praying, saying, Lord, reveal your word to me, Lord. Whatever piece it is. It might be the simplest thing for me that I've overlooked. That God says, boy, you really need a revelation of that. And at the right time, he'll dip it into my heart. And oh my, and once God's placed it there, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can convince you it's wrong. God will line it up in his precious word. It'll blend together in your heart. And it'll just, as our brother mentions all the time, it'll mean more to you than that light's a light bulb. It'll be a reality to us. And I pray, God, make every word that real to me. Amen, that I would be able to stand like those men of old stood. No matter how long it takes, what criticism we must go through, what maybe someone has to say about us, how many friends I might lose along the way. But oh my Lord, let me be a light for you in this last age. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Just a small word of exhortation. I pray it's helpful. Pray you're able to take something from it. It's God's precious word. I'm a poor excuse sometimes for a preacher when you hear other people preach. But I only do what God lets me do. And amen, I thank him for what little bit he lets me be able to be a help. You know, if I just could be the doormat, that's fine too. Whatever God wants out of us, let's just give it our all to be whatever he wants us to be. Amen. You know, before we dismiss, old Colton back there, he's had a little song on his heart for a couple weeks now. And really been wanting to sing it. And you know, I can sing it with him because it really means something to me. But page 100 in our little capstone books there, joy unspeakable. Amen. Amen. Just think of that, saints. I have found His grace is all complete. If you can say that with a reality, what a joy it ought to place in our hearts. What a thanksgiving we ought to have. You know, these old hymns sometimes really speak a lot to our hearts. Amen. Amen. Page 100 there. Let's see. I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. Amen. Oh, it is joy.
Just a few moments. Brother Timothy, I'll tell you what, if I could bring it like Brother Timothy does, he fires bullets like out of the machine gun. I'm telling you what, he can get it out fast. But I'm a little slower, you know, I'm a slow person. But anyhow, thank God for that word tonight. Amen. I appreciate it very much. But, you know, I'm thinking about that little song, Joy Unspeakable, Full of Glory. You know, the real blessing of it is, so when you're going through a test and trial and you still got that joy. Amen. Amen. That's when you got something real. Real and genuine. You know, you see people lose their joy when things are going rough and tough and there's nothing there to hold them. But thank God the joy is still there and the peace in your heart when things are going rough and a little tough, you know. Amen. But I'd like to just talk about just a few words before we close. Sitting there, and the Holy Ghost just told me to read some things and talk about a couple things real quick. Because, you know, you think about a seed. You know, remember now, if you don't put that seed in the right condition, it'll do nothing. Amen. It'll just sit there. But you put a seed in the right condition. You sat there, you know, in this past spring, we maybe planted a bean seed or corn, whatever it may be. And as long as it was in that package and dry, it didn't do anything. But you put that seed in the ground where it's nice and moist and it's getting warm because of springtime now, and everything's just right. There's something about that little germ of life laying down that seed. It just can't help itself. It just pops open and it grows. But you know, it could have stayed in that package for 2 or 3 years and didn't do anything. But when it got put in the right condition, something began to happen. And I want you to think about these couple words I want to talk about. And I want everybody to listen, so make sure you don't miss the right person. But, you know, I'll say this first. Every one of us, I've said this before, but every one of us was really bad people at one time. Was we not? Yes, but thank God for His amazing grace. You know, we all no doubt lied and cheated and probably stole and done many terrible things we didn't really want to do sometimes, and sometimes we did. But God has a way of changing that all around, you know. And that's what makes grace and mercy so wonderful and precious to us, because, you know, we were so steeped in sin and really bad, and that amazing grace reached down our heart. And there was, and you know, I'm so thankful for the time, even as a little child I talked about before, that something down inside I knew had to be God somewhere. There had to be life somewhere. There had to be something much better than what I was seeing in life. And all the disappointments going on and all the fighting and arguing and just people just not getting along and people hating each other and just terrible things going on. I knew there had to be something much greater than that. And there was a deep call to the deep. You remember Brother Branham talking about that? But he said, if there's a deep call to the deep, there has to be something to respond to that call on the inside. You know, and you talked about the little boy eating the pedals off a bicycle. And they took him to the doctor, and here found out that the little boy was lacking sulfur. And there was sulfur in that rubber. So, but he said, there had to be that sulfur in order for him to crave for that sulfur. And if there's anything at all in our hearts craving for our Lord Jesus Christ, for our craving for life, something real, something that's not all this trouble and trash we see going on, there has to be God somewhere. Jesus Christ is there to take you in if you'll let Him. And I was thinking about this little scripture in Ephesians 2, and I said, now, you know, you may sit there and go, I know, somebody sit there and say, what are you talking about this for? Well, you know, even I read the other day where Brother Brown was talking about Sister Mita. He said, Sister Mita come up to him one day and said, Bill, I don't understand why you're doing this. I don't understand why you do this way. And Brother Brown looked at her and said, I don't expect you to understand why I'm doing it.
That's right.
But he said, if the Holy Ghost leads me to do something, I do it. Amen. And I always want to be that way. You know, if the Holy Ghost leads me to do something, I want to do it. Regardless if people understand why I'm doing it, just, Lord, as long as I'm in your care and doing what you want done, you see. Amen. So we want to read this scripture. All right, we find here in Ephesians 2, in the fourth verse, we'll just begin to read here. But God, who is rich in mercy. Now, I want you to think where each one of us would have been if it wasn't for His rich mercy. In other words, abundance of mercy, plenty of mercy. Where would I have been? Where would have you been? And remember, as I said, we wasn't all good people all the time. Some of you drank, some of you smoked, some of you committed adultery, some of us done some terrible things in life. We stole, we cheated, we lied. Yeah, terrible. But you know, He is the great physician, not of only our physical needs and our health needs, but of our spiritual needs. And He knows how to fix everything because He's the great physician. You ever, and you know, us older folks, a little older, you know, I consider it about getting a little older, but we sometimes can experience the times of sometimes you run on to a good doctor, you know, and you go to, and they just seems to know exactly what to tell you, knows what's wrong, and then you go to some of these punk doctors, you know, and they think they know everything, and they rattle this, and they rattle this, and this, and the other, and they're nothing but a bunch of quacks. They don't know anything. But there's something about a good doctor, a good physician. You can just put confidence in him, you know. And thank you, Doc. I appreciate you letting me know what's going on here. Thank you very much. And he's right. He hits it right on, you know. And, but you know, I'm going to tell you what. There's a great physician that is here tonight to fix every problem you may have. Whether it be physical, spiritual, whatever it may be. He's the great physician. You see, but I'm such a bad person. He's there to fix bad people. He didn't come to fix good people. He came to fix bad people. And I thank God he fixed this bad person. I thank him for his mercy and his grace that he fixed this bad person. Oh, he's so wonderful. But he said, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, think of that, his great love wherewith he loved us. He loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, yes, hath quickened us together with Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. It can quicken a man or woman, a young person, to a new life, to surrender in Jesus Christ. By grace, ye are saved. By grace. You can't do anything to save yourself. But you just listen to him and follow him, and he'll get you taken care of. Amen. Amen. And hath raised us up together. Amen. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's places to recognize what Jesus Christ has done for you, what he will do for you. It's all possible, regardless how bad we look. It's all possible, you see. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Oh, he's such a kind, kind, loving God. If you do what he says, kind, loving God, you see, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is something he reveals to you. Brother Timothy was talking about tonight. It's understanding. And how do you get that understanding? Forsake not the assembling yourselves together, even more so. And as you come and seek God and seek his word and listen to it, pray and ask God to open your heart. Faith comes then by the hearing of the word of God, you see. It is the gift of God. Let us back up. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, if I just pick somebody here tonight, and I reach my wallet and I hand you a $5 bill, and you didn't do nothing for me whatsoever, I just hand you a $5 bill, that is a gift to you. You didn't work for it. I just gave it to you. That's what a gift is. And salvation, his mercy and his grace, all these great things, is something he gives to you. You can't do a thing for it, but he gives it to you. You just got to accept it. You know, Brother Bram talked about the pardon. You know, that one that come to Abraham Lincoln, you know, and one of his buddies was about to be shot with the firing squad because he done something he shouldn't have done during time of war. And here this little fellow, you know, was going to die. Well, his buddy felt so sorry for him, so he'd done all he could do to make it to Abraham Lincoln. And he said, Abraham Lincoln, sir, he got down on his knees and began to beg you, my friend's going to die if you don't do something. And he's pardoned. So Abraham Lincoln just pulls out a piece of scrap paper. No great big fancy piece of paper. No gold seal on it, no nothing. Just a piece of paper and begin to write on it, I excuse this man for what he done. So the young man that took and went to Abraham Lincoln about this, he run to the young man, and he said, here's your pardon. You don't have to die now. And he wouldn't accept it because it wasn't on something fancy and nice and from the look like from the present. And he told his friend, you're trying to make a mockery out of me now? I'm about to be killed? I'm going to die? But he couldn't accept that pardon. And Brother Branham said, a pardon, it was ruled in courts, and Brother Branham talked about a pardon isn't a pardon unless it's accepted as a pardon. And unless you accept what Jesus Christ gives you, it won't do nothing for you. But all I ask you to do tonight is accept it. It's yours. He gives it to you. By grace you are saved. By grace. That is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, because God already knew that if we could work ourselves up to the salvation or work ourselves up to being a good person and to quit doing things wrong, we would boast in ourselves of how good we was. But he wants it to be mercy and grace of what he does for us. You see. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And all we ask you to do, if there's anything pulling on the inside, repent. Repent of your past sins. Turn from your past sins and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise is unto you and to your children and to them are far off, and to many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Call. Something on the inside pulling. Call. Hallelujah. But you got to accept it. Amen. I planted a little seed. You never know. Sometimes it's years before that little seed is put in the right condition and it begins to grow. You don't know. You don't know. But God does. Amen. Let's stand. I love him. Amen. Once was a slave.
just my salvation. Oh, Calvary,
last verse.
Once I was bound, but now I am set free. Oh, once I was blind, but now the light I see. Once I was dead, but now in Christ I tell the word, hallelujah, the peace of Jesus lives. I love him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Purchase my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Our heads bowed. Precious Heavenly Father, how we love you, how we appreciate you in the depths of our hearts. Just so precious and glorious. I'm asking, Lord, that wherever these few words that's been spoke tonight and the things our brother spoke, Lord, may it find that good ground that, Lord Jesus, it would prepare and, Father, would bring in forth another life. Oh, God, we thank you for your mercy and your love for us. We greatly appreciate it very much. We ask now that you would just watch over us and keep your hand upon us as we leave this little place. And, Lord, bring us back again the next appointed time if you should tarry. Help us come back, Lord, again with the desire to serve thee, to learn of thee, and to yield unto you, Lord. We ask it in your glorious, most precious name. Oh, sweet Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I love him. Do you love him?